T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, hey, it's nice in the studio today. I hope it's just about too hot for you out there. I hope you're on some lake somewhere. Jordana Green here. And you know who is on a lake somewhere? My handsome partner, Paul Douglas. How's life at the cabin, my friend?
Jure, it's good. But if this makes you feel any better about me being at the lake, it is cloudy. It's spritzing right now. A couple of light showers up on Pelican Lake, but
it doesn't make me feel any better, but I hope you're enjoying.
Don't care.
I hope you're enjoying some downtime there.
Hey, a little bit of family time up here, and enjoying whatever Mother Nature throws at us.
All right, good. Well, that's what we want to hear. So, Paul's at Pelican Lake. I am in the studio. And we have much to discuss. Yes, we're going to talk about ICE. Should we abolish? Should we not? We're going to take your calls. What is the new FART Act? Yeah, that's a good one. We'll talk about that. We're going to get an Eagles concert recap from Paul. He's going to share that with us. But boy, this story about the Thailand soccer team being rescued from the cave. Have you been watching any of the updates?
It is amazing. It really is a best case scenario. They recovered all 13 kids, right, on the soccer team?
Yes. We're talking about 10 days underground. I have some audio here. We heard a little bit in the news, but I captured some more of it. By the way, what you're about to hear are two British divers. They were recording this video. They were the first to speak to the boys. They flew to Thailand last week to help with the rescue of their own volition. They heard about it. They said, we want to go and help because the cave was flooded, and they're divers. They're experienced in this. So they thought they had special skills. It's Rick Stanton and John Volanthin. They are the two English voices that you're about to hear on the tape. And what you're about to hear is when they first reached the trapped children.
Thank you.
How many of you?
13. Yeah, 13.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
We are coming. It's okay. Many people are coming.
Many, many people.
We are the first. Many people come.
What day?
Tomorrow.
No, no, no. What day is it?
No, I'm
Monday.
Monday.
Okay, but 1 week and Monday. You have been here 10 days. 10 days. You are very strong. Very strong.
And then the divers tell them, you know, look, there's only two of us here, and we can't get you out. You heard they said many, many people are coming. But they also tell them that they're going to have to dive, because I guess one of the entrances must be so blocked that they're going to have to bring equipment for the kids, and the kids are going to have to dive. I was watching the video. I don't know how the kids looked before, but they looked awful thin looking at them now.
Well, and these are kids. These are 11 to 16-year-olds, all members of the Wild Boar soccer team. And, boy, talk about an outing that turned into a disaster that turned into some much-needed bad news, you know, for local communities. But in the end, it turned out to be a good news kind of story.
Right. You wouldn't think there was much hope for these kids after 10 days. But
no.
The rescuer then tells him, he goes on, he says, we have to get you to higher ground. The Navy SEALs are coming. They're going to bring food and a doctor. And then the kids in Thai were peppering them with questions. So it looks like they had some energy still. There was water in the video. You know, obviously all the rain, I guess, brought them some fresh water, which was the way they survived. I don't know if they've eaten in 10 days, but my goodness, what an unbelievably happy story, happy ending to this story. I was worried, Paul.
Have you ever gone spelunking? Have you ever gone into caves?
I really haven't. You know what we did? We did the Tunnels of David underneath the Old City in Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's cool. I've done that too.
It does get narrow at times, and it does get dark, and you are walking through water, and sometimes the water is hip deep. But they're obviously curated, and you know where you're going, and that's a people go on those tours all the time, so I wasn't in danger. But that was even scary for me. It's the unknown.
Well, if you're claustrophobic, mm-hmm. you know, scared of the dark, it can be a harrowing thing. And these kids, you know, it wasn't supposed to turn out like this, but apparently they had some thunderstorms that stalled out, and downpour after downpour, mm-hmm. which turned into a flood, which flooded these caves while they were in the caves. And I saw that they're trying to drain the water naturally. But if that doesn't work, then yes, the kids are going to have to don scuba gear yep. and scuba their way out of those caves.
That's right.
So great to get some good news for a change, right?
That's exactly what
Thank
I thought.
God.
We need to start the show on a positive, uplifting, surprising,
yes.
happy.
Thank you.
Happy time. Yes. So you had a big weekend, right? You went to the Eagles show?
Yeah, the Eagles concert. It was nice. You know what? For 4 or 5 hours Saturday night, it didn't matter what your politics was.
Oh, isn't that nice?
People in the stands at Target Field were all singing in unison. It was like one great big sing-along because everybody knows these tunes. And Jimmy Buffett was terrific, but the Eagles, I thought, really hit it out of the ballpark.
And Paul did bootleg some of it for you to hear. Good. Were you close?
No, actually we weren't, but we were up on the third deck, but you know, good seats. And God must be an Eagles fan, because the storms stayed to the south and the weather cooperated and everything was terrific. It really was a beautiful evening. And are we going to talk about this next segment a little bit?
We do, but wait, I want to hear the whole Glenn Frey backstory on this, because you thought the Eagles were going to be done after the death of Glenn Frey.
Glenn Frey thought the Eagles were done. you know, Glenn Frey died 2 years ago, complications after surgery. And Don Henley basically said, you know, after he passed, it's like, we're done. I mean, he was the heart of the Eagles. He and Don Henley really were the two drivers. And they were ready to throw in the towel. And then somebody, I don't know if it was Henley, got the idea, well, why don't we try Glenn Frey's son, Deacon, and see, A, if he's interested, see if his voice resonates. And sure enough, Deacon Frey played along with Vince Gill. And a lot of people who love country know Vince Gill. He's had a very successful career. And he was funny. He said, I'm the 61-year-old new guy in the Eagles.
I like it.
But between Vince Gill and between Deacon Frey, I thought they pulled it off. I mean, it sounded like vintage Eagles. I think the crowd loved it. They ate it up. And again, it was just nice to see everybody drawn together by music. So, you know, you want to run for office, run on a pro music, pro Eagles platform.
Look at that.
Maybe you get elected.
Positive stories, two comeback stories to start the show.
Yeah.
I can't promise the rest there that way.
We can't keep it going.
Keep it going as calls to abolish ICE ring throughout the nation, as President Trump encourages that only because it will make all the Democrats lose in November. So what's the deal? Wait, you know, what would happen if ICE were abolished? And are they the organization now that they set out to be when they were created after 9/11? ICE was created after 9/11. Kevin Reed is our producer today. He reached out to a local ICE office. They were trying to get somebody to come on with us. Kevin, have they called mm-hmm. us back yet? They haven't called us back yet, but we kind of want you to find out what local ICE enforcement does here. What do they do in the Minnesota? What's their everyday? What do they think about this current controversy surrounding their organization? We will speak with an expert on this at 3:35, but we're also going to take your calls. Yes, abolish ICE, or no way, we need immigration enforcement. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. You will hear from a couple of lawmakers in New York, as well as President Trump, on what he thinks about this. And we're going to hear about from you before we go to the break.
And Jor, we should also reach out if listeners have had any interactions with ICE locally in the Twin Cities or Minnesota, Wisconsin. Let us know what happened, how that went, how you were treated, what your reaction was. I'd just be curious if anybody out there has had any one-on-one, pleasant or otherwise, experiences with ICE. We'd like to hear from you.
Our phone number is 651-989-WCCO.
See what I did there?
I think that's a different ice. Is this vanilla ice?
That is vanilla ice.
That's not the ice we're talking about.
He's got a home improvement show now.
Does he?
Yeah. He builds houses.
Everybody
like
has
in
a show.
Florida, and he's all buff. Looks pretty hot. I mean, he did back then, too, but yeah. That's why I watch. I digress. I'd rather talk about vanilla ice than people holding signs saying no more abolish ice and no, we need ice. And now there's a very big controversy in our land. One of the many, of course, that erupted over the weekend.
700 marches, right?
700 marches around the country. They were all immigration related. And something that has come out of this is this new call to abolish ICE. In fact, I don't know if you got to see this interview or if you at home didn't get a chance to. The president sat down with Maria Bartiromo and talked about this event.
Yeah. The 28-year-old socialist that just beat out Joe Crowley says abolish ICE. And get this. More Democrats are getting in line with that. Kirsten Gillibrand today saying we need to abolish ICE.
Well, I hope they keep thinking about it because they're going to get beaten so badly. You know, ICE, these are the guys that go in and take MS-13 and they take them out because they're much tougher than MS-13, like by a factor of 10. And these are the ones. You get rid of ICE, you're going to have a country that you're going to be afraid to walk out of your house. Mm.
I don't necessarily know about that, but Maria is right where Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Kirsten Gillibrand, who you're about to hear, are calling for the abolishment of ICE.
What we really need to do is really reassess our entire approach to immigration in the United States.
Start over, reimagine it, and build something that actually works.
So, what do you think? We asked for calls. We got some, Paul. Okay. Let's see. Jane. Oh, Jane's in her car. She has a comment about ICE. Good afternoon, Jane. Thanks for calling in.
Hello, both of you. I think when ICE was invented, it was a very scary time in our country. We had a Republican president. Everyone was worried. I think what has happened over the next administration, it kind of got watered down. I do think there is definitely a need for vetting for immigration. We're having trouble in America taking care of our own young people, our own elderly, with funds and programs, and we just can't open our doors to the world. And I know President Trump is so worried because everyone coming in here is going to be a killer or this or that. That's not the case, but we don't need, like during the Cuban crisis, we don't need everyone's bad person. We need wonderful people to come in, like our medical students and others that fill our colleges and this and that. But there has to be some kind of vetting. So, yes, I think in a way ICE needs to be redefined, but it's not a free-for-all in this United States of America.
See, Jane, I appreciate that call. I think it was very thoughtful and good point. You know, why do we have to abolish? Can't we just maybe reevaluate the
Can
goals?
Can we fine-tune?
ICE, again, ICE was created after 9/11. In fact, there are some lawmakers say that it has become a rogue agency. There's little accountability. There's no transparency. Misdirected focus and taxpayer dollars. Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, she's from Washington State. She is creating a bill that would end with the abolishment of ICE. But in the beginning, it would kind of reformat it because I don't know exactly how it functions, if it's rogue, which was we were hoping to speak with an ICE agent today. But they say it needs to be reformed. Greg is in Blaine. Greg's also calling to chat about ICE. Greg, thanks for the call.
Hey, I'm not sure ICE is the problem. I think the problem is illegal immigrants here not paying taxes and still using some of the resources that could go for their stuff, because my taxpayers are paying to house these people, and they're not contributing, you know, any taxes or anything.
So keep ICE or get rid of ICE?
I'd say you got to keep some kind of control, you know. Like, say, if they want to come here, that's fine, but get him here illegally so they can start paying taxes and contribute.
Greg and Blaine, agreed. Mm-hmm. We're all for legal immigration. All for legal immigration. Greg was a little rogue there on the call, but we're all for legal immigration, Greg. All right, Paul, so we're going to talk with an expert about this. Bill Schneider is a political analyst. I'm sure you've probably seen him on CNN many times. He's covered American politics in every presidential election since 1964. He's going to give us some perspective on this, as well as the memo that was released. There is a draft bill from the White House to remove the United States from the World Trade Organization. What? So that's new. So we're going to ask Bill about ICE and this new draft bill about the WTO when Paul and I return in a moment.
And Paul, back with you. Thank you for joining us on Monday. Thank you for joining us any day. Trying to understand what's going on. A lot of stuff to try to keep up with. If you missed this, yesterday was Canada Day, and our neighbors to the north applied tariffs of 25% on U.S. steel and a 10% tariff on 250 other items.
Not very neighborly.
Including everything from ketchup
Not nice.
To whiskey to orange juice. That's a typical breakfast for Jordana. Right? Ketchup, whiskey, and OJ in response to U.S. tariffs. Mexico and China also expected to announce tariffs on U.S. products this week. With us to talk about tariffs and how President Trump's draft bill to remove the United States from the World Trade Organization, how that would really pan out when it comes to tariffs. And with us to talk about ICE is Bill Schneider. He is a leading political analyst. I know you've seen him everywhere. He's covered American politics. He's covered every presidential election since 1964. Again, some Democrats now calling for the abolishment of ICE altogether. Where do things stand, and what do all of us need to know about ICE? Bill Schneider, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Bill, let's start with ICE. That is what we asked our listeners. You know,
right.
What would happen if ICE was actually abolished?
Well, the number of illegal aliens coming into the United States has actually slowed quite a bit because of the restrictions placed by the Trump administration, although there are still a lot coming in. The abolition of ICE would mean that other government agencies would be overburdened with the responsibility of apprehending people who come in, of looking for those who are here illegally. Believe me, it's not going to happen. ICE does lots of things, but the one bad thing that's been widely publicized, which is a horrible thing, is separating children from their parents when they cross the border illegally.
I know, but you can't blame ICE for that. That was a Trump Sessions thing.
Well, yes, it was a policy by Trump and Sessions. And the problem was, of course, the pictures got out of crying children, and that really offended and angered a huge number of Americans. I agree with you. You can't blame ICE for it. It was a presidential policy carried out by the Justice Department, but ICE administered the policy. And that's why critics argue if we got rid of ICE, there'd be no one to administer that kind of policy, which has already been changed, but not enough.
Bill, you know, we are a nation of immigration. Many of us are, you know, first generation, second generation immigrant parents who came in looking for a better life. What has changed to make this such a combustible, volatile, political, moral, ethical issue? What has changed in the immigration debate? Is it just the volume of people trying to get into the United States, or is it more than that?
It's not the volume of people, because that's actually slowed. What has changed really is President Trump came into the presidency, and one of his key campaign themes was to keep out illegal immigrants. He ran against illegal immigration. His supporters, which were not a majority in 2016, his supporters resent what they regard as a country flooded with illegal immigrants, And there's been a lot of research suggesting that his supporters, who are mostly older white men, mostly in rural areas, feel threatened by a changing face of America that they don't recognize. They feel as if they're being marginalized and they're losing status and power in this country. That's really the key to what's happened. But remember, resentment of immigrants is a very old theme in the United States. Way back in the 19th century, we had a political party that nominated presidential candidates called the Know Nothing Party, because people were supposed to say, I know nothing, if they were asked about it. And it was violently opposed to immigrants from Ireland, principally because they were Catholic.
Fascinating. I mean, look, immigration has been a problem for decades. You know, Congress hasn't been able to deal with this for decades. It seems that it is just coming to a head now, but we wouldn't want anybody to think that immigration is just a problem since Trump got into office. I'm in no way defending his methods, but it has been going on for quite some time. Bill, if...
That's right. It's 200 years.
Yeah, certainly. Bill, if we could move on to this WTO story. Apparently, the president has ordered the drafting of legislation that would mean abandoning the World Trade Organization. It's called the United States Fair and Reciprocal Tariff Act, which, by the way, is getting a lot of laughs, known as the FART Act, sort of like, you know, fourth graders now we're reverting to. But it is getting a lot of laughs. Many economists are saying they're not even paying attention to this because it will never pass. It's not viable legislation. Can you tell us what is in this Fair and Reciprocal Tariff Act?
Well, it basically allows the United States to walk away from the World Trade Organization, which we belong to for some time. It's a license to raise tariffs at will by the president without congressional consent and outside of the rules that are governed by the World Trade Organization. This is a huge departure. It gives the president unprecedented authority just to raise tariffs on any country as he sees fit and cuts Congress as well as the WTO out of the equation. Congress is never going to allow that. They resent losing their authority to protect their constituents, and it's just not going to happen. But it does, I think, signify that President Trump really is a unilateralist. He doesn't want any restraints on what he does or what the United States does. We should be free to negotiate one country at a time, and international rules just don't, he doesn't want to be restrained by them.
But Bill, does the president have the power and the authority to do this unilaterally, or does he need Congress? And everything I'm reading, Congress in a million years wouldn't give up their power to be able to create legislation. So, I mean, this is a non-starter from day one, isn't it?
Yes, you are exactly right. Congress will never allow this. The president is just, it's a symbolic bill. It's what he'd love to happen. He doesn't like multilateralism. He doesn't really trust international deals and agreements. He believes that unless a deal has been made by him, it's not a good deal. And that's the way he regards most of our trade relations.
Why even have it drafted?
Well, he asked his administration to draft some bills that he might go after, that he might use to threaten Congress. Again, this certainly won't pass, but this is at the request of the president, where he asked his White House staff to draft not just this, but they were likely to come up with some other bills, wholly unrealistic, wholly unworkable, and impossible to get through Congress.
Steve Mnuchin, our Treasury Secretary, when was asked about this by Axios, who reported this over the weekend, that Trump wanted to leave the WTO, Steve Mnuchin said that is wrong and it's an exaggeration. But that's not what the draft said, right? Am I right on saying that? That the draft said...
The draft didn't talk... Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No. I'm sorry. You went. I'll stop talking.
Well, the draft doesn't say we'll get out of the World Trade Organization, but it allows the president to abandon the principles of the WTO and negotiate one-on-one with any country. And that is basically walking away from the rules imposed by the WTO, which the United States has agreed to. What it says is it will authorize, really, a trade war, which, as you just indicated, we're already beginning with Canada, one of our closest allies. Isn't it amazing? We have poor relations with Canada, but apparently great relations with North Korea. That really is a departure.
May you live in interesting times. Bill Schneider, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your insight and perspective, sir.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
You got it.
You bet. All right.
He must be on vacation
it
also.
Is now.
We heard him.
What?
He must be on vacation also as he was driving maybe to the beach. We were losing that connection.
Okay. Oh, my. All right. 3:47. That's Wicks and Jewelers time. Wicks and Jewelers makes it easy to sell your Rolex, and they'll give you the best value for your used watch. Stop in today for a free consultation.
Vanilla Ice.
Well, you can play that once.
Kevin is a child of the 80s, too. Kevin used to appease my 80s whims when he and I were working together at night. Now he has to play Al Malmberg's favorite music. Is that any better, Kevin, or do you miss mine?
You know, Al's music is okay.
Okay.
But it's all 60s music.
There you go.
Occasionally it'll be the 70s, but yeah, anything past like 73.
He misses a little Whitesnake, a little Poison.
Yeah, Al doesn't
Hey, Kevin.
Al's just afraid he has to shoot those before they get to the chickens.
Oh,
Whitesnake.
Yeah. He doesn't play any Justin Bieber?
That's a negative, Ghost Rider. No Justin Bieber.
Kevin misses me. Misses me.
Hey, speaking of tariffs,
yes.
Couple of stories over the weekend and today made me do a double take. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the nation's largest business group, Jor, and a traditional ally of the GOP, has launched an aggressive campaign attacking President Trump's trade tariffs.
The president ads and commercials. What do we got going on here?
Well, for now, it's not commercials per se, but they're being fairly vocal, warning that the president is risking a global trade war that will make ordinary Americans poorer. Quote, the administration is threatening to undermine the economic progress it worked so hard to achieve, said Chamber President Tom Donahue in a statement to Reuters. He also said we should seek free and fair trade. This is just not the way to do it. The chamber, a powerful group, 3 million members, previously praised Trump for signing business tax cuts in December. So all the goodwill, the good results, the economic shot in the arm that the tax cuts seemed to do late in the year and early this year, they fear that much of that is being undone now by tariffs and this specter of a global trade war.
Did you ever sometimes wish you could just go a few years into the future, just make sure everything's going to be okay?
Yeah, things will be okay, but it could be a little messy getting to okay.
Sigh. I know.
And as we said, you know, new winners and losers, right? I mean, that's always the dilemma, right? Mm-hmm. You change things up, and suddenly businesses that were rolling in money a few months ago, now they're questioning how they keep going forward in light of tariffs and some of these other unknowns. So who knows?
Oh, lots of unknowns, lots of unknowns. We have just about a minute left. When we get back from the break, we're going to check in with Frank Vassalero. You have a special guest in weather therapy.
Mr. Paul Majors, Majors is going to talk to us, give us an update what's happening out in Palm Springs, and tell us how he copes with that incandescent white-hot heat that much of the desert Southwest has to grapple with. We get a lot of crap in January and February, but, man, in the summer, you know, from Palm Springs to Scottsdale to Florida, how do those people live there?
So Paul Majors,
we're going to ask him.
That's right. Paul Majors is coming up in weather therapy with Paul Douglas.
Yep.
And then a time warp has been discovered outside Las Vegas. Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll jump into the time warp and I'll jump back and I'll let you know after the break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.